I'd encourage all of us to attend our Bible classes both on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. And if you were not here this morning, you missed a very good class, an adult class, as we studied together from the sixth chapter of the book of Mark. Brother Charlie Morris's permission, I'm going to continue that study that we began this morning. I thought that Charlie had some good things to say in his lesson, and it spurred me to think about some other things that I believe that are important. I was studying last night and had thought about some things, and then as we were studying together this morning, Charlie spurred my mind and I thought about some other things. But as we study this lesson, I don't believe I'm amiss in reminding us again about what's in it, because our Lord reminded His disciples upon at least two occasions of the lesson that they should have learned from the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. As is recorded in Mark chapter 6 and verse 52, He said, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." And then again in the 8th chapter of the book of Mark, Jesus asked them when they misunderstood about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they had brought no bread with them, and Jesus said that their hearts were still hardened, and they still did not understand when He broke the 5 loaves among the 5,000, and how that many baskets full of fragments He took up, and they said 12, and when He broke the loaves among the 4,000 of the 7 loaves, and they took up 7 baskets full, and Jesus said to them, "How is it that you do not understand?" As I begin to think about this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, it's recorded, as Brother Morris mentioned this morning, in all 4 Gospels. Why is so much significance given to this miracle? Why is it that Jesus reminds the apostles at least on 2 occasions concerning what the lesson of this miracle was? And they still didn't perceive and didn't understand the lesson of the miracle. Book of John is a pretty good commentary on what's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John gives the miracle in the 6th chapter of the book of John. And after these things, they tried to make Jesus king, according to verse 15. They wanted a physical kingdom, a material kingdom. There were many of them on that occasion that did not understand the true nature of the miracle. They wanted to get out of the Lord what they could get. Jesus taught them a very vital lesson as is set forth in the following verses from verse 15 on about the true bread of life. "Labor not," He says in verse 27, "for meat that perisheth, but for that meat that endureth unto everlasting life." Verse 35, He said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh after me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Then the account in John 6 says, as many had followed Him on that occasion in verse 66, from that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. And then Jesus said unto the 12, "Would ye also go away?" And then Simon Peter answered and said unto Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." I suggest to you this morning that I believe that the secret of being successful in living the Christian life is contained in this miracle. And the lesson that had been missed by the apostles and was missed by many of the multitude was what caused them to go back and walk no more with the Lord. But we want to continue to live successfully the Christian life, to be faithful unto death. I believe that if we take the principles that are involved in this miracle and then this account in Mark 6 as well as Matthew chapter 14 and Luke 9 and John 6, make application of them to our lives, then we can be successful in living the Christian life. We won't go back. We'll continue faithful to the Lord unto death. Let me make some suggestions. If you'll just take your Bible and pretend we're having a Bible class and read along with us, we'll look at some things that are found in it. Verse 31, our text began this morning, and it says, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. And they were coming and going, and they had no leisure, so much as to eat." There's a time in the lives of all of us that we need to take time for leisure. We need to take time to rest. There's a real danger that we can become weary in well-doing. In the Galatian letter, in the 6th chapter of the book of Galatians, in verse 9, the Apostle Paul gives that warning, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not." And then in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13, he says the same thing, that there is the danger that we can be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. We're going to reap if we faint not. But if we continue to work and serve in the kingdom of God without any personal time, without personal time to meditate and appreciate the truth that we learn, we will be weary in well-doing. The disciples of our Lord needed some time that they would go apart from the multitude that they were teaching, in which they had time for personal benefit of a study of what the Lord had said. You know, we all need to study our Bibles every day. And it's important that we read the Bible daily. But if we read the Bible and that's all we do, we do not take the time to meditate upon the Scriptures. We do not take the time, if you will, to allow the Scripture to sink into our heart, then we won't derive the proper kind of benefit from our Bible study. In the book of Psalms, for instance, in the first Psalm, he says in verse 1 beginning, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night." We need some time in which we allow the teaching that we have in our Bible classes, in our own personal study of the Bible, and as we assemble to worship, to sink in. We need some time to meditate upon the Scriptures. Again, if you turn with me in the Psalms, in the 4th Psalm, in verse 4, the account says, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." We need to commune in our own heart. We need to allow the Scripture to sink deeply within our lives so that we'll obey what's contained in the Word of God. We need time to study the Bible and to place the Bible within our hearts and within our lives. In Psalms 46 and verse 10, the account says, "Be still and know that I am God." Jesus was saying to his disciples, the time's come when you need to go apart and you need to study for your own benefit. You might recall that Brother Charlie mentioned this morning that the 12 have been sent out on the limited commission. They're coming back from that commission and they're rehearsing to the Lord all that they've done while they were there. They told, verse 30, all the things that had happened and what they had taught. While they were interested in teaching others, they had not taken the time to reap the benefit of their own teaching, to allow the Word of God to sink in their own hearts so that they too would derive the lessons that are contained therein. We need to go apart and have some leisure time to study the Bible for our own benefit, derive the lessons that we have, not simply studying the Bible for Bible study's sake, but to study the Bible so that we might receive benefit from it. I've told the account before, but I'll mention it again, about an elder out in Dallas, Texas, who died. He taught the adult Bible class. And the preacher went to the house, and when he got there, it was on a Sunday afternoon, and his Bible was laid out, and he had some concordances that were laying there, and Bible dictionaries that were laying there, and some commentaries, and he was reading and studying the Bible. And he spent many hours in preparation for his class. Brother Hardiman Nichols was the preacher. Brother Nichols said, was he studying for his class next week? Because he'd sat in the class, just like we sat in Charlie's class. And you can tell he spends time in study to prepare for that. And his wife said, no, he was studying the Bible for his own benefit. That's what we need to do. We need to take some time to meditate upon the Word of God, to go apart, away from the busy activities of living the Christian life. And study the Bible not simply to teach others, but study the Bible for our own benefit and for what we can derive from a study of the Word of God. Then in the second place, if you look at verse 33, the account says, and when the people saw them departing, they knew him, and they ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and they outwent them, and they came together unto him. There's no one in this life that we need more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are people who are willing to walk, if you will, to go around the edge of the lake so that they might be where the Lord is. When they see him departing from this side of the lake to go east on the other side of the lake, they want to go where Jesus is. We need to realize the value that there is in being in the presence of the Lord. These people wanted to be where the Lord was. How can we be in the presence of the Lord? We study our Bibles, we're in his presence. As Brother Charlie mentioned this morning, how would you like to be that young lad who had brought the loaves and the fishes, and from those five loaves and these two fishes, all this multitude of 5,000 men, not counting women and children, could be fed. And what a story you'd have to tell when you went back home. But we were in the presence of the Lord this morning as we studied from his word. We derive and can derive the same benefit from the confirmation of the Son of God recorded in Mark 6 as those people who were actually there when the Lord was present on this earth. As we read and study the miracles of the Bible, as we read the account of Jesus' life while he was here among men, it ought to open to us avenues of opportunity. We see the great lessons that are contained in the Word of God. And as Charlie mentioned this morning, every time we study an account, it ought to be fresh. There ought to be some new lessons that we derive from it as we're in the presence of Jesus. As we see him, the great Son of God, who emptied himself, left heaven, took on the flesh of man, came to dwell among man, and to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. The real lesson that's contained in this, the lesson that many of them missed, is the true bread was not the meat that Jesus came, brought forth from those fishes. It was not the bread or the loaves and the fragments that came forth from the seven loaves, but it was the meat of the Son of God, the spiritual meat. Bread that had come down from heaven. The bread that had come to live his life on this earth that we might always be full, never again be hungry. We need to learn the great lessons that are contained in this. Then again, if you'll look at verse 34, the account says, when Jesus came out, he saw much people, and he was moved with compassion toward them because they were sheep as not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. What do we see when we look out among the vast multitudes of people that are around us in this community? What do we see when we look next door to our neighbors? We see their needs. Jesus looked at this multitude of people, and as was mentioned this morning, think of the circumstances under which our Lord's now laboring. He's labored hard all day long teaching this multitude. Night's now upon them. They've gone apart for a time of rest, a time of relaxation, a time to be together. And here are the multitudes that follow them wherever they may go. He's hungry. Here are these multitudes of people. And yet as he sees them under the most adverse circumstances, he sees them with a heart of compassion. We ought to have compassion toward all men. We need the heart that Jesus had, a heart that will cause us, because of compassion, to see the needs of people. In the 10th chapter of the book of Luke, you have recorded the parable or the account of the Good Samaritan. You might recall that the Samaritan was not the first one to pass by, but there was a certain priest passed by and saw the same scene that Samaritan saw, but he didn't see it like he saw it. The account says in verse 31 of Luke 10, a certain priest had come down that way, and it said when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite. And when he was at that place, he came and looked on him, and he passed by on the other side. The priest saw him. The Levite saw him. But they didn't see the same thing that Samaritan did. They didn't see it in the same way. This Samaritan had seen it with a heart filled with compassion, a heart filled with mercy. And thus, he had compassion on him. Luke 10, verse 33. And he said unto the innkeeper, take care of him. Verse 35, he took care of him. Jesus said, which of thee thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among them, among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go thou and do likewise. The disciples of our Lord needed to learn this great lesson. They needed to learn to go thou and do likewise, to have the same attitude that Jesus had toward those who had need, so that they too would show compassion on the needy. Then again, if you look at the account, it says that he began to teach them many things. Now there's where the emphasis is. Jesus realized that the primary need that people have is a spiritual need. They need to be taught. They need that meat that comes down from heaven. They need the meat that leads to eternal life. And so the beginning place and the emphasis of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is on that meat that is an eternal meat. It's on the teaching that they were doing. That's the lesson that the apostles missed. They saw the miracle. They saw that here's Jesus who is able to multiply the loaves and the fishes and to sustain the physical needs of people, and yet they missed the real point of the miracle. Here's Jesus, the source of all spiritual meat. They missed applying the teaching of that miracle to their own lives. Oh, they could apply it to others. They could see how others had need, but they failed to conceive of their own real need. That they too needed the meat that does not perish, the meat that leads to eternal life. Then again, if you look at verse 35 and verse 36, the account says, and when the day was far spent, his disciples came unto him and they said, this is a desert place and the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages and buy for themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. here are the disciples of our Lord, and they fail to see their own responsibilities. They wanted to shift it. They said, Lord, these people should not have come here in the first place. Look at this place. It's a deserted place. We have nothing to give them. We have nothing for them. Send them away so that they can go and buy, so that they will be able to eat some bread tonight. They failed to see their own responsibilities. They had a responsibility. The reason that they did not see their own responsibilities is they did not see things like Jesus did. Jesus had seen this multitude of people with a heart of compassion. And out of that, he could recognize his responsibility. How do we look at things? Do we see our responsibilities? Are we like the disciples of our Lord? Do we want to shift the responsibility away from me and let someone else take the responsibilities in the church of my Lord? Do I see myself as having a personal responsibility? In the book of Galatians again, the 6th chapter of the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 5 and says, let each one bear his own burden. There are some burdens and some responsibilities that I cannot shift to anyone else. But I must bear them because I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Am I like the disciples of Jesus? Am I seeking to shift the burden of responsibility? Am I ready to send men away? What about those who are lost? Who are my neighbors? Who are my friends? Those I work with every day. Am I ready to shift the responsibility of teaching the gospel of them to others? Am I ready to send them away? Though I see they have need, I know they're lost. I know they're without God. I know they're without hope. Am I like the disciples of Jesus, saying, send them away? Try to shift the responsibility that I have to others. But then again, underscore the mercy and the grace of the Lord in verse 37. He answered and said unto them, give them to eat. They said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennies worth of bread to give them to eat? They're trying to say to the Lord, we don't have enough to buy to supply their needs. But Jesus, out of his mercy and out of his compassion, said, give them to eat. Look at the difference in send them away and give them to eat. Lest we reflect the mercy of God within our lives, we have no mercy. In the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, you'll recall that Jesus was teaching a great lesson to the disciples on forgiveness because they wanted to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And making application of that lesson in verse 33, he said, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him into the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall your heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your heart forgive not every one that trespasses against you. What's the lesson? Mercy will be dealt with as we give mercy. Are we willing to give our grace to others? We see things through the eye of grace that we want of God. Jesus said, give them to eat. The disciples said, send them away. I don't have anything for them. How do we see our responsibilities? But then again, look at verse 38. And he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. I think here's where we need to learn a great lesson. Jesus said unto these disciples, what do you have to give to this people? The disciples looked at it and they said, I don't have anything to give. We've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How are we going to be able to deal with all of these people with the little bit that we have? What's our attitude toward our talents and our abilities and our responsibilities in the kingdom? Are we not sometimes much like the disciples of the Lord on this occasion? Didn't we not say, oh, I just don't have enough. If I had more, I'd be able to do for those who have need. But since I have so little, I can't share it with them and I can't use it for the glory of God. When we see the needs of our day, we see men lost in sin, we see those who have need and we fail to show mercy and fail to show compassion on them. We're like these disciples. We're ready to send them away. But Jesus said, give them to eat. Jesus said, look at your own life and see what you can give them. Jesus said, go and see. What is there that I have that I can use in the service of the Master? Surely there's something. Or it may be little. The talents and abilities that I have may be small in comparison to others, but surely I have some talent. Am I like the one talent man in Matthew 25 who was afraid and he took and he hid his talent in the earth, verse 25? Am I willing to take my talents, my abilities, what I have, what the Lord blesses me with, and allow it to be used in His service? We won't fail. You see, all the disciples of Jesus were able to gather up on this occasion was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But they never fail. Jesus can take what little we have. If we're willing to allow it to be used to His glory so that it will be sufficient. The supply that's ours is sufficient to accomplish the work that Jesus has given us to do. It was on this occasion, and it'll be for us as we set out to do the work of the Lord. Listen to the reading of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, in so much that you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Jesus won't let us down. He was able to take what the disciples could gather up and use it to accomplish His great work. Jesus is able to take us if we're willing to be used in His work and able to take our talents and our abilities so that the work of the Lord might be carried on. But the problem is, are we willing to be used? Are we like the disciples who say, send them away? Jesus said, go and see. We need to go and see this morning. We need to look at our own lives, look at our abilities, look at our talents, and see where it will fit in and use what we have for God's glory so that the work of the Lord can go on. Then, in verse 39, you'll notice that He commanded them to sit down by companies on the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by 50. Charlie mentioned this morning, order's important. Jesus arranged these in an orderly fashion. But even more than that, order's vital in our lives. What about our priorities? We have our lives in the proper order. We have our lives ranked like we ought to. Where does Bible study come in the rank of our lives? What about prayer? How important is that to me in my life? What rank does it have? Is it that that's secondary or is it primary in my life? What about my service in the kingdom of God? What rank does it have? Do I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Matthew 6:33. Do I truly labor for that meat that perisheth not? That's the order that we need to get in our lives. The problem of the disciples was they failed to see. Through the meat that Jesus used, that he fed this multitude, that was only secondary. That the primary thing was to take that meat which perisheth not. The bread that had come down from heaven. Make application of that bread to our own life and to see the great lesson that's in it. Then again, and finally, if you look at verse 41, it says, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up into heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them unto his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes he divided it among them all. Are we thankful for what we do have? The disciples looked out across the multitude that was there, and they thought, surely we hadn't got enough to feed this multitude. We've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus took that little that was there. The great task that was set before him, and with the little that he had, he was thankful for all of it. And he blessed it and gave thanks. Are we truly thankful for what little we have? What's ours? Would we consider ourselves to be an ordinary Christian in the kingdom of God? Are we thankful for the blessings that we have? Day before yesterday, as I was leaving the church building, I got out to Troop Street, and there was a truck in front of me, or a van in front of me. It had a little sign on the back of it. And it said, I'm so blessed, I'm not blind. Have you ever thought about that? God's truly blessed. We can be used so that the kingdom of God might grow and it might prosper because of the abilities and talent God's given us. Are we thankful for it? The only way we can truly express that thanks is to be used in service. The Lord's blessed us so much. He's blessed us with material things, and we need to use those material things in his service. We express that thankfulness as we use them. And I said finally before, but I mean it now. Look at the next verse. And they did all eat and were fed. The supply of Jesus is sufficient. The Lord has an abundant supply. They did all eat and were filled. They took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. The Lord's abundant in his supply. He'll meet every need that's there. Did you know in doing the work that God intends that we do, that we won't run out of supply? If we're willing to take what we have and use it in his service. In the 2 Corinthians letter, in the 9th chapter of that letter, in verse 8, there's one of the most beautiful promises found in all the Bible. For it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. We may think we use ourselves up. I'm sure when they went apart to that deserted place, that the disciples were tired and weary. They'd just returned from the limited commission. They'd told the Lord everything that they'd done. And they thought they was used up. They thought they was spent. But the Lord can take our abilities and our talents, and it'll never be used up. We'll never run out. The work of the Lord will go on. When we'll take that meat that perishes and put it secondary and live for the kingdom of God. Live for the meat that perisheth not. But the beauty of the whole thing is, we've got our priorities right. When we live for Him, we understand the lesson of this miracle. When we're willing to be used in the service of the kingdom of God, we won't go back. We, like Peter will say, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We take God's word, meditating upon the word of God, making application to our own lives. We'll be used and used and used in the service of the Master. And the supply will be abundant because God won't wear us out. We won't be weary in well doing. Because we realize we will reap if we faint not. Listen again to the context of the passage I read, and with it I close. God's able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad. He hath given unto the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. He that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything into all benefits, which causes us, through us, thanksgiving to God. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. Philippians 4:19 says, God will supply every need according to the riches of His grace. He did in Mark 6, and He will today. Are you in the kingdom of God this morning? Would you not obey the gospel today to begin to live for that meat that perisheth not? Are you like those disciples who, when spiritual things are mentioned, say, I don't want that, and go back and walk no more with Him, John 6:66. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to turn from sin, confess His noble name, and be immersed in water for the remission of sin? If you're subject, won't you come while together we stand and sing?